Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
It is our number one of the G-Bag Nation. Fort Worth, we're out here. We came out to see our friends in Tarrant County for a defeated Cowboys Monday. We got all the right opinions and the good analysis coming at you here for the next 5 hours. Tolo back window decals are waiting for you here, Boomer Jackson, Fort Worth. I hate to say it. I really do. But, you know, this is why I couldn't pick the Cowboys to win it when they went into the offseason. But then I got convinced, hey, Kellen Moore is going to redesign the offense, and they're actually paying attention to what all the data says, and they're, you know, coming up with more educated decisions that reflect more of a modern mindset. And then we saw it in training camp, we saw in the preseason, we saw in week one, and then it's been unfolding. And I thought going into this Minnesota game, okay, they had problems with health and they had bad luck in that three-game losing streak. You're probably not going to be unlucky. You're not going to be that unhealthy. And I guess I was just shocked at how horribly the offensive line and Ezekiel Elliott could play together and how bad the defense could. So I put quite a bit of on the execution and the player performances and all that because they should be embarrassed at how much talent. I mean, we spent the offseason talking about how it's the most talent since the 90s and all that. But I also think the game plan and the coaching decision is just atrocious.
Yeah.
And I think Jerry Jones knows it. And this staff, I'm not even going to differentiate between Kellen Moore and Jason Garrett and everybody because either the kid sucks himself or he doesn't have the stones to tell Jason Garrett that I'm calling the plays. One of two things is happening. He either sucks or he's intimidated by a veteran head coach.
I'm with you, and I won't even stop there. I don't think Chris Richard's that good of a coach. Our defense is bad. I don't think Rod Marinelli is that good of a coach. I've seen him head coach. He's an 0-16 head coach, so there's head coaching ability in that body that he has. And so I just look at everybody. If we wanted to get rid of every coach we had, all 400 coaches, I'd be fine with it. None of them have ever proven anything to me that they're a special coach worth keeping. I don't think they're horrible, but I don't think any of them are really that special at the job they do. At least I haven't seen it in 2019 at all, any type of specialness from a coach that we have hired over the last 5 to 10 years, I guess, through this Jason Garrett, mediocrity that we've seen. And just to go further and be particular about this game and this season, do we know what time the game starts at?
Wow. Do the
players and the coaches know what time the game starts at?
I don't know, Mike. That's a good question because they have just been getting blown out. And all four losses, they have dug themselves massive holes in the first half of these football games. And it's surprising that they were able to, you know, right the ship once again yesterday. But it happened against the Giants as well.
Yeah.
It's not like at this point it's just an anomaly.
No, it's who they are. Their identity, when we're like, who are they? What's their identity? Well, part of their identity is we're not really going to play good football. In fact, we're going to be one of the worst teams in the NFL. We're going to be right there with the Dolphins where we're actually worried after one quarter. Are they better than us?
Yeah.
We're going to be worried about these teams that we're way better than, but through 1.5 quarters, we're always going to be like, are we going to lose to one of the worst teams in the NFL? And then the third quarter and fourth quarter happens, and that's part of their identity too, that they play better this year in the second half. But man, it's frustrating to see the same things pretty much happen over and over and over again. The exception to me is the Philadelphia game. There's one exception this year where we've seen a different team. A championship team showed up on Sunday night against Philadelphia.
Yeah, they were desperate, and the Eagles were missing 6 starters.
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, out of 9 games, it's really uncalled for and unacceptable. And you know, I get that there's going to be ebbs and flows in an NFL season because your matchups and your energy level are going to change. But to have what happened as a common theme in these losses where you can't run the ball, but you insist on continuing to run it. And then key moments. This is while Dak keeps saving you on 2nd and 3rd down.
God.
Dak is playing like an MVP. He's on his way to 393 yards. You were 9 of 15 on 3rd down. And mind you, they didn't convert a single first down all game on the ground.
Zero.
No first downs running. Dak is saving your ass on second and third down, and you get in position to score and decide to run. And then what has been failing you all game ultimately costs you the game as you lose yards. And then a horrible pass play on fourth down.
I was having so much fun on Twitter watching you and Jeff, who will be here with us in a second, watching you guys get so mad at them running. I wasn't going to put it on Twitter because I didn't want anybody to then reply to me. I was just personally texting you guys, and I'm like, I was like praying they run the ball on first down again just to see y'all's reaction because it was so pathetic. And then to go with Dak saving them, this is from Warren Sharp on Twitter. Here's a crazy stat he has on 3rd and 7+ tonight. Dak is 5 of 5, 100% conversions. He had 3rd and 14, 20-yard completion. 3rd and 12, 20-yard completion. 3rd and 12, 15-yard completion. 3rd and 8, 12-yard completion. 3rd and 7, 22-yard completion for a touchdown. That's what Dak had to work out of because it was funny watching you guys, but it was the truth is they refused to not run the ball on first down.
Yeah.
We are going to run, and we're going to put ourselves in these situations, and Dak was almost perfect bailing them out.
Meanwhile, the Vikings are using play action and just putting on an absolute clinic in the screen game, and you know, it's one after another. And you know, hey, we got to bring it back to the players. Travis Frederick got annihilated on that third down run where Dak had to either get rid of it or take the sack himself. Either him or Zeke was going to get run down. You know, the defensive tackles and the linebackers, I don't know what's going on, man. You know, to listen to some of them talk in the locker room, I just don't think they get that it's going bad. I still think they believe we're awesome and things just didn't go well again.
Gavin, on one of the plays, this is where you kind of, you know, Parcells, eat the cheese. Leighton Vander Esch runs across the field and stops the running back. I don't think it was Cook on the play. Maybe it was Cook, but for like a 2 or 3 yard gain. So it was like one of the few plays that a linebacker made a positive play for the Cowboys. And it wasn't even super positive. It was just like, hey, we didn't miss a tackle, or the guy didn't run for 6 to 12 yards in the second half every time they touched the ball. And he's like, well, you're just not going to find, this is Chris Collinsworth, you're not going to find linebackers that run that fast in this great of a linebacking core. And I'm like, Chris, watch the game. We stink.
Yeah.
If you want to talk about linebackers and good linebackers, talk about the Vikings linebackers in the holes that we're trying to run through, not ours. Ours are not good at football tonight and haven't been better than average on most games this year. But because they came in as being a good group last year, having Sean Lee as their backup, on a piece of paper before the season started, it looked unbelievable. But if you actually watch the Cowboys play, this is not a good linebacking core. It's average at best. And I think I'm being nice when I say Jalen Smith and Leighton Vander Esch and Sean Lee are average. I might be being nice to what we've actually seen in 2019.
I guess the good news is Leighton Vander Esch wasn't eligible for a contract while we were prematurely crowning him as one of the best linebackers. Because Jalen was, and he got paid, and I'm happy for Jalen Smith. You know, that's the game. Okay, so I have a question here. If you want to text in your thoughts or tweet them in, we'd love to get your thoughts at GBag Nation on Twitter. You can text at 877-881-1053. I mean, if you've been defending this coaching staff and you know, told us after victories to stop harping on things, even though we're like, they couldn't get off the field. They won the game, but they were giving up 5 yards per carry, or it was the takeaways that masked something that should have arrived, but it didn't, against a good team. That's what we were saying last week. Against good teams, this won't be good enough. And they go out and lose. And my take is, you know, I just need you to pay better attention.
Thank you.
And then if you were paying attention to all the little things that were a consistent thread through all of their games, then it wouldn't surprise you that after a win, we're like, yes, but A, B, and C that usually cost this team games against quality opponents is still happening. This is a massive warning sign. So I would just like to ask all of you, we need your help. This is going to be a key 7-game stretch, and then maybe one or two playoff games. Absolutely not the conference championship game. Maybe they'll somehow still win the division. But we can't, if they do pile up a couple of wins and get to 9-7 and somehow miraculously win the division, you can't defend Jason Garrett, okay? Please, because it's the fan base being split on this. And it's the soccer mom fan out there who just wants to say, hey, everything is good, and we're having a post-game party, and, you know, our head coach tries his hardest. It's y'all that have allowed Jerry Jones to keep this guy as a head coach. If you would just acknowledge what is factual, that the Cowboys can't win because their head coach gives them no advantage, even now with their most talented roster in years, they can't be a consistent winner. You see in the New England Patriots what a head coach can do, even when the talent is a constant shuffling. That's what a good head coach can do for you. A bad head coach can take some of the most talented teams in the NFL over, what, a 12-year period, if you count his years as offensive coordinator, and deliver absolutely nothing. So if this does turn around and we're having fun and, yay, the Cowboys beat the Lions and, oh, they played New England close and maybe beat the Bears and, well, they beat the Eagles again and now we're going into the playoffs, please don't let that confuse you. It will be in spite of the head coach. It will be because they have so much talent that they can be coached horribly and still arrive in the playoffs.
Look, I love what you're saying, and just to add on to that, that's where people get mad at, I'll just say me, I'll just take me. They'll get mad at me last week when I say, hey, look, it was a great win. And in the end, for the 60 minutes, in the end, they blew out the Giants and they won on the road by almost 20 points. But then when I say, I've seen that team play before against a good team and they're down 31-3. And everybody's like, shut up, you're negative on the Autoflex Leasing fan text. Take back, you know, you don't know what you're talking about. Stick to baseball. And then we do the same thing against the Vikings, and it's 14-0 after one quarter. Now, where are you right now?
We just lost our headphones, but we're still on.
Okay. So it's like, okay, so what? I was telling you the truth. Look, when you actually play a competitive team in the NFL and not one of the worst in the NFL, you will be down by a lot of points, and now it's going to take you a lot of energy and effort just to get the game back to where you want to get it to. Shut up. You don't know what you're talking about. You're such a hater. Cowboys are awesome. And so I'm just with you on, look, stop it.
Yeah.
Stop it. You are letting Jerry Jones and his $5-plus billion empire do whatever he wants to us.
I mean, we talk about how East Coast fans are rude and mean and everything, but the benefit of that is they don't let this transpire for more than a couple years.
I was thinking of this because I do think that Jerry Jones is one of the smartest businessmen that God has ever created. I mean, he is unbelievable at that. And I don't know all his other businesses. I probably don't know any of his other businesses, but I guarantee you this. In Jerry Jones' life, in another business, if it's stagnant, if it's stale, and it's staying the same for a couple years, I assume, he's going to change CEOs and stuff, the people really running it, to make sure that they start going in an upward angle, except for the Dallas Cowboys. He doesn't care about
that. I think you got a great point.
Because we will keep buying the product no matter what he sells us.
All right, it is the G-Bag Nation. We're live at Boomer Jacks here on a defeated Cowboys Monday. As Jeff Kavanaugh has taken a seat here, you took your turn here. It's been a revolving door. It's like a cakewalk of who's not going to be aware of the remote.
I call it pulling the Cowboys.
Okay.
I figure if they don't have to show up for the first quarter, why should I? Or, in all seriousness, I'd like to apologize to the Tolo and to Gavin and Mike and to Corey and Kevin. There are two Boomer Jacks in Fort Worth.
Oh,
that's
okay.
What a great establishment it is. Yeah,
very popular.
I know there's
one
in Arlington near the ballpark.
Okay, well, I can tell you the other one in Fort Worth, also very nice.
Yes.
Yeah, a couple of really nice places.
It is one of our favorite establishments to hang out, and we invite you to come by, pick up a Tolo back window decal. So Mike and I have been venting a little bit these last 12,
13
minutes.
Yeah, we haven't been positive.
Yeah, no, I've been listening, and it's been a wonderful show.
Awesome.
I don't think I could have made it any better, so I'm really glad with what you guys did. I know that throughout the show today, while I'm listening to you guys, I'm sitting here with – I just want to take the time to go through the specific examples of just how exactly Jason Garrett and staff – I think it's fair to say and staff.
Yeah.
Because Kellen is calling the plays.
Yeah.
Jason Garrett and staff failed the Cowboys. They failed Dak. They cost him a win, and – The very bottom goal for a coaching staff, don't hurt my team. This staff hurts the team. There's no way around it. There's no denying it. We have specific examples in this game alone that throughout the show we can point to. Your coaching staff actively hurts your team. Sure, there aren't that many that are going to pull you way up. Like, oh, I'm super coach and I'm going to make you five times better. But you can't hurt the team, and this staff does.
Yeah.
It's established.
They're trying to say, well, you know, we were worried about the clock and all that. That's what we wanted to run.
that's why they were in hurry-up offense.
That's why they were snapping the ball with 20 and 15 seconds left.
Jason Garrett knows the spot he's in right now. That's why this morning with Fish, I used the radio.com rewind. I woke up because I had post-game last night. I woke up later. I was listening to him, and, oh, yeah, Tavon Austin, like I told him, of course, you know, north and south if we're going to return it and this and that, and, you know, it was his choice. Tavon Austin said, I did what I was told.
Oh, really?
Jason Garrett's trying to save himself right now.
See, we didn't hear Tavon last night.
Kellen Moore calls the plays.
Yeah.
Like, he's trying to save himself, and he's been really good at it.
Yeah, he has been good at it throughout his career. Jeff Cavanaugh, Mike Bassick, myself, Gavin Dawson here, Boomer Jackson, Fort Worth. This is the location off of Bluff something, right? It's a Bluff deal. It's we'll get the proper address.
It's not the one off 20.
Yes, not the one off 20.
It's the
one more north off of 820 here. Uh-huh. As we'll be rocking and rolling all the way till 7 o'clock. Come on by, pick up a Tolo back window decal. Lucius Alexander back at Master Control there, 75 and fits you. It's cold out, guys. It is.
It's going to be getting colder, too.
Yeah, but just for a couple of 24
hours
or so, right?
Like, I don't know if I need to what I need to do, but I think I'm going to cover some of my nice plants that have actually sprung flowers because I don't want them to die and have to go spend another $30.
All right. Let's come back and give you some more takeaways from this Cowboys defeat here. As, 28-24 the final. The Metroplex Cowboys Nation is on fire with reactions here. Veterans Day salute all the veterans out there. Other topics from defeat. Do the Cowboys have a new go-to play on the outside, though? That was fun. It's next in the G-Bag Nation. Welcome back, G-Bag Nation. We are live here at Boomer Jacks on Western Center. In Western Center here. It's a Fossil Bluff Drive location in Fort Worth. We'll be here until 5 o'clock. Do the Cowboys have a new go-to on the sideline with the toe drag stuff by Amari Cooper? That was just outstanding football. And while the Cowboys were busy putting on a damn laser show in the passing game, the play caller was trying to scheme up some way to continually sabotage them by calling runs. And it hurt him right there in the end. But I tell you what, in the meantime, there were three catches on the sideline by Amari Cooper that are catch of the year candidates in anybody else's portfolio. Segments brought to you by Mark Rubin. If credit card companies are blowing up your phone, do what more fan listeners do. Make the free call to Mark Rubin at 1-800-LAWYERS. He'll stop all the harassing collection calls and stress. 1-800-LAWYERS, official lawyers of the Tolo Rubin and Associates.
Well, I think there's different 5s and 4s, and that's why I know you're really frustrated and I'm really frustrated, and I think Jeff is somewhat frustrated with this. Is you have Amari Cooper, who's one of the best wide receivers in the NFL, Dak Prescott, who has made a major step forward in his career. You're supposed to have a good running back. To me, that's a debatable deal at this point with fat Jerome Bettis back there. But
shots fired.
I would just say that's what's frustrating about this is it seems like when you watch this team play at times, and I know we're specifically on Amari Cooper, is like, this can't be stopped. We can score 30-plus points a game, especially against average defenses or worse, and we sabotage our own self.
Yeah, got to go back to the run.
To make sure that we struggle to have 24 points on the board late in the game.
Yeah, 440 yards of offense again, a ton of first downs, and 24 points. How does that happen? Well, when you continuously try to go back to the run, eventually it's going to set you up where you can't convert a third down if you need to do 12 or 13 plays. But if you're taking your chances of the big play on first down because the other team thinks they might run, go get the ball carrier, and you're trying to score on that down too, sometimes you just catch the ball and go in for 70 yards.
Well, and now here's the most frustrating thing to me today. The opening drive of the game, the Cowboys decided that they were going to kick a field goal from 57 yards instead of going for it on fourth down.
Chip shot. Yeah.
Okay, so let's play a game real quick. With Brett Maher and what we know about him, what were the odds of making that field goal? Do you think it's fair to call it 50-50?
Yeah, maybe even a hair lower for
okay.
me. But
give
I would
or
say
take,
like 45% chance.
Give or take 50-50.
Right.
But before a game, you know, you kick it, you kick it, you kick it. The coach is like, all right, we're good from this far. So at the very beginning of the game, you declared, this is what I want to do in this situation. We're going to kick from here. So you did, and you didn't make it. The very next time, you were at the exact same yard mark and could have taken the same kick, and you punted. Now we can go through. There's a great thing on Twitter, the Cowardice Index. That was the most cowardly punt almost in the history of the league. Fourth and four from the opponent's 39. But now you didn't want to kick it. Why? Because you missed? So now we're basing it off of what happened the last time instead of what our plan is. If you're the head coach, you are responsible for the plan. If the plan was, if we get to that spot, we're comfortable kicking from 57, and you think it's a 50-50 proposition, why does the 50% that missed make you think the next one's going to miss? Why are you not coaching? Why are you not planning that if we're in that spot, we're comfortable kicking it, or we're not? The fact that it was one and then the other means you didn't have a plan.
No.
You're a bad coach.
Yeah.
You don't have a consistent plan. Otherwise, you're doing the same thing from that spot, whether it's go for it both times, punt it both times, or kick a field goal both times. A coach with a plan has a plan for that.
He knows what the math says to do.
Yes,
and
this coach does.
What the long-term win's going to be. Yeah,
and this coach knows what the math says.
Yeah.
He disagrees.
Well, I don't know what you do about that. You know, I felt like adding Brett Maher has now made Jason Garrett even more averse to fourth down, because now in these situations where just on the other side of midfield where you should be going for it, he's like, no, I don't have to go for it. I can try to kick the field goal, and then if that doesn't work, then it's on the kicker.
To pile on, I was thinking of this as you guys are having fun with how mad you were at running at first down, which I was just thinking it was funny at one point. I was just like, this is just funny because this team isn't good enough to do anything special. So I'm like, I just kind of want Jeff and Gavin to keep getting mad, and they keep running the ball on first down. If Jason Garrett, you know, and he's pathetic at his job, he tries hard and he's pathetic at it. If they would have done this, and I know they won't do this against his team, if they would play four cornerbacks and three safeties on first down, second down, and third down, you know what Jason Garrett would do? He'd run it every play, and he's like, these guys are letting me run the ball every play. No, he would tell his offensive coordinator, we're not passing. They're only playing four defensive linemen and no linebackers. Like, we can run the ball 90 times today and just keep going for anywhere from 4 to 15 yards every play. But when the team shows the opposite sign and they're saying, we want you to pass the ball every play, and if you do it, you might score 50 points. Literally, if the Cowboys would have thrown the ball, and I've been against you, so just if you haven't listened to the G-Bag Nation, I've been somewhat on, I'll say, Brian Broaddus' side a little bit, is I do like balance.
He came around this morning on DallasCowboys.com a little bit, though, Broaddus did.
And I would say, when a team is showing you, we will allow you to score 50 if you can execute passing plays, and the Cowboys could execute passing plays yesterday, Jason Garrett stupidly decided that I'm not going to take the 50 points you're giving me through the air. I will only take 50 points if you give it to me through the ground, because I would rather lose giving the ball to my running back than win throwing the ball. It would have been like 90% of the time, but you should have thrown the ball 90% of the time yesterday.
So Amari Cooper's putting on a clinic. Randall Cobb was outstanding. His best game as a Cowboy, making you have no memories of Cole Beasley or ever trying to argue that Beasley could do what Cobb did, because that was an unbelievable performance by Cobb. Michael Gallup was great. They were averaging 2.7 yards per attempt, and they get down for the most important plays of the game, and they decide to run.
On first down, they're averaging 2.4, but they had to make sure they ran it more than they passed it on first down. And just my last pile on for this segment, which I thought was ridiculous, was to have Jason Garrett say that he didn't tell Tavon Austin to fair catch it, and then Tavon Austin say today that I just did what I was told. And on top of that, this morning Jason Garrett told Sean and Fish that on second and two down by the goal line that there were options on that play. Like, he inferred this was an RPO.
Yeah.
I rewatched those plays this morning. If that was an RPO, a run-pass option, someone forgot to tell all four receivers because they blocked.
Oh, wow.
So the coach is telling you, like, hey, you know, Dak could – he's not saying it out loud. He's letting you infer, like, Dak could have pulled it out and thrown it if he wanted to.
Well, he could have pulled it out and ran it.
Yeah, he would have thrown it to a guy that was blocking.
Oh,
he would have thrown it to – yeah, because they were all blocking. Now, the third and two, Witten ran a slant on an all-pro safety. So if you would rather throw one-on-one to your old tight end who you're splitting out instead of your athletic tight end to run a route on an all-pro safety, sure, he could have tried that. Or you could have called drop-back passes, like worked all the way down the field.
All right, it is the G-Bag Nation. We are live here at Boomer Jacks at Western Center in Fort Worth. We have more Cowboys content coming up for you, obviously, throughout today's show. But it is time now for the G-Bag of the Day. The best audio from the world of sports, pop culture, talk radio, and or the internet. We play all the cuts, vote on which one we like the best, and that is the G-Bag of the Day. Goal is to make it to five-time status, at which point you are immortalized in G-Bag Nation history. It is Veterans Day, and if you come by Boomer Jack's, veterans eat free today. How about that, huh?
Veterans, that's awesome.
We salute
you. Come on out.
How about a free meal on Boomer Jack's? Lucius, I believe Carmine in Cleveland's looking for five right here today. Am I right?
Yes, it's his fifth time up, bruh.
Well, we're all going to get nominated for going just like him at some point today.
Yeah, we're all going to take a turn doing this. All right, let's have it.
I said what I said, and it's my freaking fault for having any faith whatsoever in you. I should never, ever do it again. I should never have faith ever again. I should line up and be like the predecessors before me and be nasty and mean-spirited and angry over the entire thing every single time we watch out one of these quarterbacks that will hopefully take us from the hell that we have created for ourselves throughout this entire time and have us have this happen yet again. More saviors, more messiahs, the same damn actions, the same thing. The emperor no longer has clothes, and I am a shell of myself. Today is the day where things change. I'm gonna lay here and I'm gonna take it. If you got something to yell at the Browns, you yell at them. You got something to yell at Baker Mayfield or John or Freddie Kitchens, you go ahead and let it off your chest. If you got something to say to me, you go ahead and say it. Because I made a guarantee that I'm personally responsible for. I have let myself down. I have let you down. I have let everybody down. So for the next 3 hours and 40 minutes, you got something to say to me, you go right on ahead. You will not get anything back from me. I got it coming to me because I'm a damn fool for having any faith whatsoever in this train wreck. Goodbye.
Yes.
Could have easily been about the Cowboys.
Yep.
Absolutely. I bought in. Friday I was talking about, oh, yeah, 31-24. I like it. This team is healthy. The bad luck is finally gone. Second half is going to roll. Let's do it. 7-1 in the second half. Sound about right? 6-2 at worst. But now I'm sitting here going, you know what? The Eagles are going to win this division.
I did not pick because I was on vacation, but I did think the Cowboys would win a close game. I'll say I was wrong, too, on that.
So you're just going to lay there and take it?
I'm going to lay here, and I'm going to take it. But, you know, if you want to say I'm a Cowboys homer, sorry, I'm not. I'm sick of this 25 years. But, you know, we keep buying in, and this is the best franchise when it comes financially stability in all the world. There's no other better organization. Jerry Jones has created something where winning doesn't matter, and maybe that was his goal in about 1995-96.
Okay, so there's our champ. Four-time, looking for five. He's looking for five-time championship status right here. He would be retired. Join us at Boomer Jacks. Get yourself a cold beer. You know, let's just unwind. I wish today's a day where I'd like to, you know, go about 6-7 deep with you. Just be like, you know what, forget it. Let's have a good time and BS.
Yeah.
All right, who's challenging, Lucius?
You guys heard of hockey legend Jeremy Roenick?
Yes, yeah. I've heard of him.
You heard of him?
Yeah.
Uh-huh. I hope the audience has, too. He has an MJ story about the GOAT, Michael Jordan, on a golf course.
Back in the 90s, when the Bulls were on fire, this was like end of the season for us, end of the season for them. I get a call from Michael, meet me at Sunset Ridge early. We're going to go play 18 holes. We didn't have a game. We actually had a day off. So I meet him at Sunset Ridge. So we went, we played around. Beat him for a couple thousand, and I'm getting ready to leave. Now, Bulls are playing that night. They play Cleveland that night. So I'm thinking he's leaving. It's 10 o'clock. He's like, no, let's go play again. So he goes, and we fill up a bag full of ice and Coors Light, and we walk again. we roll around another 18, and I take him for another couple. And,
couple.
Yeah. And now we've been drinking all afternoon. Now he's going from Sunset Ridge to the stadium to play a game, and I'm like messing around. I'm like, I'm gonna call my bookie, and all the money you just lost to me, I'm putting on Cleveland tonight. He goes, I'll tell you what. He goes, I'll bet you that we win by 20 points, and I have more than 40. I'm like, done. Son of a gun goes out, scores 52, and they win by 26 or something after 18 holes of golf.
And 36 holes of golf.
36 holes of golf and having like maybe 10 Bud Lights.
Dang, Jordan gambling on himself while drinking. That's pretty awesome. As soon as I had
he drank and then played in a basketball game that night?
Yeah.
So that,
and played two rounds of golf.
So that can happen. So if I took, so if I made a shot at somebody on the Cowboys that maybe they were drinking before the game,
I guess it doesn't
that
count.
It could happen.
I guess it. I guess some guys are better than others at overcoming that. Whenever I was playing basketball, if I had any alcohol, I'm like, no, I'm not going to go play. I'm all tired and uncoordinated, even more than normal. Forget that. Who else is nominated, Lucius?
We got a fella right here chasing some Popeye's clout. Yeah, I tried to go get me a Popeye's sandwich earlier for lunch, man. There's still lines, like, wrapping around outside and inside.
The hype is back.
The hype is real. So, yeah, imagine standing in a line and all of a sudden some dude jumps on the counter while you're trying to get your chicken sandwich and he starts singing.
Make me feel this way, Popeye.
Damn it.
I've got Papa on the clouds. Yeah, when it's cold outside, Papa is on his way.
Yeah.
Well, I guess you say what can make me feel this.
Wow.
Okay.
Now, Lucius, you said Popeyes was busy here, but I was just in New Orleans, and there's a couple Popeyes I walked by, one near Harris. It wasn't that busy, and I was telling Sue, my wife, I was like, do you want to go get some authentic New Orleans, Louisiana kitchen chicken?
You took her to Popeyes?
I said, we can go to Popeyes right now. It doesn't seem busy. So for some reason, Louisiana kitchen was not busy in Louisiana.
Must have other places to get it out there. You know, we only got one source for our Louisiana hot and spicy chicken sandwich. That's talent right there. It's entertaining. It's a fella chasing Popeye's cloud. Is it Jeremy Roenick with his Michael Jordan story? Couple of worthy champions right there, but you're talking about Ken Carmine. I'd love to hear his show today. He's a four-time champ looking for
five.
Oh,
and they won. I'm going to stick with the champ to make him a five-timer, but I really want to go Jeremy Roenick.
Lucius, who do you think?
Yeah, I'm going to ride with the champ just for historical purposes.
2-0, Jeffrey.
I'll go with Roenick, make it fun.
By a score of 2-1. I'm voting for the Popeye's clout chaser himself. Singing good there. And now a five-time G-Bag of the Day champion. It's Ken Carmine out of Cleveland, Ohio, with his rant about how bad the Browns are. I bet he's back to believing today, isn't he? Guys, I think that first half is just...
I don't think so.
Okay, Bassick, where are we going to go next?
Well, we're going to go around the NFL, and for all those Cowboy homers that say, well, Goots, what? The Falcons won. I guess we'll talk about that crap next.
A new Mirage for 11.9, only at Mesquite Mitsubishi, online at mymitsu.com.
Thank you. Okay, welcome back, G-Bag Nation. We are live at Boomer Jack saying hi to Tolos here at the break. We do have Tolo back window decals for you. And coming up at 3 o'clock, Cowboys locker room audio, what was said last night as the players were picking up the pieces. Here's Mike Bassick.
All right, so let's go a little bit around the NFL, and I'll just start off with my tease here on the Falcons. That was one of the biggest upsets of the year. As the Falcons go to 2-7, they go to the Saints, and I just get whatever's on. I've talked about this before. I don't have any package or whatever, so I had a little bit of time on Sunday. And I just sat there and watched Falcons-Saints, and the Falcons were a much better team. I kept thinking the Saints were going to eventually kick it in and get going, but they never offensively could get it going. Their offensive line looked horrible, and so here's where I'm going with this, unless you guys bet on it at all. I don't know if you guys...
No, I think I tried to get Gavin to take the Saints, but the point number was too high, and he wouldn't take the bait.
Okay, so...
We did bet on a few games, though.
Yeah, okay. We did. Oh, yeah, we did.
After the Cowboy game was over, I put some derogatory things on Twitter about this organization.
Jerk.
And so the Cowboy homer, and I get it. Some of them come on our station and talk. I get it. That we're not all non-homers. We actually do have people that just homer it up, and that's part of their job to do. As a Cowboy fan, it can be the way that you enjoy sports is to just homer it up and say, well, look, the Saints lost to the Falcons, so everybody's the NFL man. They only have two losses, you moron.
Ooh.
We have four. They did play horrible. They had a horrible game. They went undefeated without Drew Brees. They have looked like a championship team more than one game out of their nine, unlike the Cowboys, who have looked like a championship team pretty much one time, and I might give them a second time, opening day against the New York Giants. They looked awesome that day, too. So if I want to throw in two against the Eagles and the Giants, the first Giant game, yes, they have looked like a championship contender or a team that could do something really special in 2019. That's it. That's all you can say about the Cowboys. Stop comparing us to the other teams, because there were some teams in the last 2 to 3 weeks that have a much better record than us that they lost a game that they probably shouldn't have lost. The other way I can compare this to is baseball-wise, because I used to do this. I used to be you trying to keep my job in the major leagues and not doing this to the general manager or manager who sent me down, but going, well, why don't they get on him like they get on me and send me down? It's like saying Adrian Sampson, if you watch baseball, and going, if you're Adrian Sampson, going, oh, I'm not worse than Lance Lynn. Look, Lance Lynn had a game where he only went 3-something innings and gave up 6 runs. And look at Lance Lynn in this month. His ERA this month was 5. Yeah, you had ERAs where they're 10. Sorry, Adrian Sampson. Sorry, Mike Bassick. You're not good enough. You can't just take all of your good, eliminate all your bad, eliminate all of the other teams that are better than you, and just look at their bad and say, well, we're just as good or better than them. It's any given Sunday, Mike. Shut up. It's not any other given Sunday. We're not as good as the Saints. They lost. We're not as good as them. Stop saying that we are.
Yeah, I think the issue would be if the, you know, the way the Saints lost to the Falcons, if they had lost like 7 other games between now and last Thanksgiving in very similar ways.
Yeah.
You know, then you'd be like, man, I think this is a pretty long track record here. And now over the course of a half season, your ERA matters.
Yes.
You know?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Stop trying to manipulate it, Cowboy fans. We are a nice average team in the NFL, and our record indicates it. Now, another game around the NFL which I was very impressed with was the Ravens. They're 7-2. Look, they played the Bengals, who are the worst team in the NFL, and they dominated it so quickly. Lamar Jackson had a perfect game. He actually only had to throw 17 times for 223 yards and 3 touchdowns, and
he had the spin move of the century.
Yeah, it was pretty awesome for a touchdown. That's a team, if you watch them play, yes. Did they lose to the Cleveland Browns earlier in the year? They did. Did they barely beat, I believe it was, the Arizona Cardinals earlier in the year? Yes. But have they played like a championship team out of their 7 wins? About 5 of them, have they looked like a championship contender? And one of their losses was a barely loss to Kansas City early in the year with a healthy Pat Mahomes. Don't compare us to 7-2 or better teams, Dallas Cowboy fans, because if you actually watch games, we don't play like the Baltimore Ravens at all.
I would agree. And there's a team that totally remade its defense. Like, they lost 5 defensive starters. Yeah. They were expected to be a train wreck, and they pulled that thing together. And then, well, Lamar Jackson's a stud.
Yeah, he is.
Yeah, that's the MVP right there.
I like this guy from the 972 on the Autoflix Leasing fan text. Mike, I love you, then I hate you, then I love you, and then I hate you.
Yeah.
I totally agree with you.
Thank you.
And well, from the 817, Jeff, today you can't tell Mike to shut up. We need Mike to go in.
Good.
Uncut.
All right, a few other games I want to talk about is the Packers. I watched that game. That was the 325 game on Fox, and that was a fun game to watch, at least a on Fox. I did watch it. Packers win 24-16. A really weird thing happened in this game, and I guess it's analytical, and I know Roy White tweeted about it this morning and how it's right decision, but early on in the fourth quarter, I don't know, there's about 11 minutes to go, the Panthers score a touchdown to make it 24-16. So if they kick the extra point, it's a 7-point game. They go for 2 and they don't get it, and I know that you know, they talked about it after the game, and they're like, look, this is 100% analytically the way you should do it. If you're down by 8 in the fourth quarter with, I don't know, 10, 11 minutes to go, I'm not exactly sure when you go for it or not, when you can just make it a 7-point game. But it's really weird. I'll just say, to me, watching a football game, when you get it to within a touchdown and you're like, we don't want the extra point, we want to get it to 6, and we're okay with it being 8 in the fourth quarter.
It's just the whole computer simulation. You know, they play that out millions of times, and by far mathematically the way to win the game is to get to there, or if you don't, then you can still tie it. But if you kick yourself 2 extra points, you don't give yourself a chance to win. If you go for 2 the first time, now you can make up for it. And if your odds of converting the 2 are greater than 51%, I think over time it probably plays out like that.
Yeah, it probably makes sense, depending on how much time is left, to think, well, if we get 2 more drives and we kick 2 field goals, if we kick this extra point, we're still behind. If we get this two-point conversion, I didn't even think of that. Then we can tie the game with a couple of field goals. Or if we get this 2-point conversion and the game gets really wonky, and the best thing for us to do, maybe we, for some weird reason, have to take a safety. It's still a one-score game. So that, like, the reward is way more than the risk, because the risk is just still a one-score game.
If you feel like you're a better – I'm just going to ask this. If you feel like you're the better team, let's just say it was the Packers, and the Packers are at home, and you're like, we're better than this team. Do you kick the extra point then, going, look, if we play for a tie, I believe my team, the more we play this game out, if we have to go overtime, we're going to win. We're a better team. Or does that matter at all?
I think the better you are, you go for it more, because your chances with a great quarterback raise the probability of converting that 2-point conversion probably well over 60.
Yeah, I think I agree with that.
Okay,
yeah.
So the Packers win and they go to 8-2. Guess what, Cowboy fans? We're not close to them. We were losing 31-3. The game was over, and we did make an awesome comeback that almost got us to a tie, but not really, because we immediately threw a pick and then it became a 10-point game and the game was over. Stop comparing us to the Packers, because last week they looked bad at football. They're way better than us, and we didn't even have to go against Devontae Adams when we played against them. And then the last game I want to talk about, as this was a huge playoff type of game halfway through the season, the Steelers win at home against the Rams. Both teams are now 5-4. The Rams are probably in deep doo-doo. Tonight's game means a lot to them. At this point, they want the 49ers to go 16-0 unless they play the Rams again and lose that game. But they need the Seahawks to lose, because they can't. It just looks impossible to win that division.
The Rams are in trouble.
Yeah.
I'm going to give you numbers real quick. This is the last 16 games of Jared Goff. 63% completion, 17 touchdowns, 16 picks.
Bad.
Oops.
He's throwing a touchdown a game and a pick a game the last 16 games.
Yeah. And
something about Sean McVay and them got a little bit figured out. So now it's going to be on him to reinvent himself in that offense, because what they're doing now has been figured out.
And the Minkah Fitzpatrick trade has worked out perfectly for the Steelers.
Yeah.
They are now in the playoffs, and because of a horrible loss, the Colts at home lose to the Dolphins 16-12. The Colts are now out of the playoffs, and the Steelers are in the playoffs.
All right, it is the G-Bag Nation live here. Boomer Jacks at Western Center in Fort Worth. Fossil Bluff Drive. Salute to you, sir. Thanks for checking it out. Come on by if you're a veteran. Veterans eat free at Boomer Jacks here on this Veterans Day. You're going to love it. They have so many great TVs and such delicious food and cold things to drink. You're gonna love it. Okay, so just come on by this location. Get your Tolo back window decal. And, you know, if you need to vent, we're going to do some calls later. You know, today is a great day for venting. Obviously, you've heard the first hour. That's what we're into right now. Let's do some Cowboys locker room audio. How did the players and coaches choose to talk about it last night? What was said as the players pick up the pieces? It's next to the Nation.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly.
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly Auto Parts.